I want to comment just a little bit on what I understand is happening. I said the other night that I want to get back and say a few more things. Some of these things I've mentioned to different ones, a number of these things to my wife and some things to the other brethren, and I've still to mention them to you. Perhaps I haven't mentioned them to you, and then of course they're not on tape either, to where others can hear it as to what I've understood. Reading in chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, if you've got your Bibles, you can read with me. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom teaching, declaring, or wisdom declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the thing which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yea, he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spirituals, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for wherein there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am Apollos. Are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watereth, but God gave the increase. Now I want to comment just a little bit. If you'll notice, it says here, these things has been revealed to us by the Spirit. Said, for the Spirit searcheth all things, and even the deep things of God. He says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Which would, of course, lead us to think that if we would move up, live better, put away malice, and perfect our lives in God, and that the Bible should go on to perfection, that we would receive of these things because we would be perfect in his sight. And that is true, because we're told to go on to perfection, which indicates that we're lacking in perfection, so far as going on into perfection to be what God wants us to be. But on the other hand, the Bible teaches also that God hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, which means we are perfect in his sight. Therefore, he speaks these things among us. But the perfection that we also get out of this is that we are yet babes to the extent we have not developed ourselves nor applied ourselves. Therefore, we are not in place to receive these things, though they belong to us. As the Bible said, we have these things in Christ. But even though we be Lord of all, yet are we under tutors until the time of the Father that's appointed for us, as to the bar mitzvah. But I want to just comment just a little bit and talk with you on a few things that God shares with us. Some of these things you can understand. Fourth chapter, 1 Corinthians, said, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in in stewards that a man be found faithful. So being a steward of the mysteries of Christ, we like to try to do what we can to talk with you. And tonight I feel like just in general talking with you about some of the things that we spoke about a few nights ago. And as pertaining to Mr. Gorbachev's discussion today concerning the things of the UN. First of all, we had mentioned Mr. Gorbachev would be the man that would bring world peace. That out of all the people, he would be the man that would do it. And he will. And it won't be a lasting peace, but he will, and he will succeed at what he's doing because God has raised him up for that. And one of the reasons that he will succeed at what he's doing is because he is sincere. He's not an undermining devil that's trying to undermine the people and deceive the people to make them believe in him, even though Satan is working in the arrangements. But at this particular time, he's sincere. He's very sincere about bringing the world together. He's very sincere about world peace. He's very sincere about the things that he's presenting. And we had spoke about from the time that we went into Russia, that Russia would just swing wide open, that the Iron Curtain would be rent in twain, and that it would become an open country, and it would just be altogether different, and that Mr. Gorbachev would be the kind of a leader that his motives would be to bring industry into Russia. Bring these big industries in and bring these plants in and all these things that make money and make, he wants to make Russia like America. Well, perhaps some of them didn't believe that, but I understand today that when he spoke, that he said that was his plans. That was what he wanted, was to bring all these things into Russia and to bring Russia into the likeness of the rest of the world. And I'd made the statement that he did not want to be cut off. He did not want Russia to be cut off. That he had recognized all of a sudden that Russia had been cut off all these years and was very primitive and was undeveloped because it was cut off from the rest of the world. So he made that very clear in his speech, I understand, that Russia would not be a cut off nation anymore, but would be part of the rest of the world, come together with the rest of the world, would not be secular anymore. So these things also fell into place like we understood. And then we said he will make a drive to cause prosperity. I said he will not regard communism as it appears, nor will he regard capitalism. I said, nor any other kind of ism. I said he'll bring up his own ism. And he will form his own government, and the way he will do it is that he will go to all these nations all around, whereas I learned today he's been to about 30-something of them. I didn't know that. But I said he'll go to them and personally become a friend with them, fill them out, get friendly with their leaders, and he will observe what each country is doing as to the point of prosperity, and he will collect all of that, put it together. And when he puts it all together, he will form his own government as to an interest. And this he will do for the good of humanity in what he understands and to supply humanity's needs and to get control of humanity, which I understand again that he made statements similar to that very thing today. And I said, and what will happen is that he will form the beast that Revelation speaks of, and that he will come to the United States to try to switch the UN, the headquarters as to a chief voice of the UN from America to Russia, that is into the areas of Europe, and that it will head up in the PLO, that he will favor the PLO, which I understand today, that's what he said. So, of course, he didn't say he was switching the UN over, but he did highlight the PLO. And I said, and his move and endeavor will make craft to prosper. The Bible said Antichrist will make craft to prosper. And his whole program and his whole plan is set around prosperity. Now, you put it together the way that he's speaking of it, and you'll find out that's exactly what's going to happen. Another thing is that he was willing to take the armies of Russia and the powers of the world and unite them together, not as an army of Russia and an army of the United States, but put them all together as an army of the UN, that they'd be under one command and one power. And I said that this will happen because the Bible said that there's three unclean spirits like frogs that went out of the mouth of the false prophet, out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of these three great things. It's called the beast, the false prophet, and the dragon, and went into all the world to bring the kings of the earth together. Now, you know there's not kings all across the earth. There's hardly any kings as by title. But everyone, like a president or whatever there is around the world, that's kingship. That's leadership. In some countries, they're called kings. I said, and he'll bring all these together. And when he gets all these together, the Bible said, who can make war against him? The Bible speaks of it. When Antichrist comes, it says, who can make war against him? Well, it's understood that if he gets all of the nations together as one unit, as a UN army, there'll be only one army and one command. And in that, the computerized system will take over. And in that, he'll give one command, and no, there's no country in the world can fight against him, because he's got control of all the armed forces of the world. This is one of the things of Antichrist. And then another thing, I said he will court Israel. Just recently, the papers carried this, that the Kremlin hails Israel. And Israel and the Kremlin was united together because of the little thing about the hijacking and everything. God worked it out just right. They linked themselves together. And I said, and this, when he starts courting Israel, that it will bring about the covenant. The covenant. So today he mentioned about the contracts that he would like to make, in having the contracts to bring about a consolidation of indebtedness throughout the world, which of course would release Israel from their indebtedness and other countries from their indebtedness. And then in doing that, said that they could buy the debts from the different countries and work something to pay them off, work something out. So again, that would solve the problem. Now, you remember this, that if he brings together all the armies of the world, if they collect all the kings together by those spirits, that Trinity thing, and strangely enough, he pointed out a Trinity today as they sit there. He named three. According to what echoed down to me, he named three. And it would have been a Trinity that would have been showing just exactly as to a type what would be taking place. Now, if he does that, if he unites the united efforts of the world, if he brings them together under the UN, and then bringing this common market in, the whole world will be in prosperity, because if you disarm every nation, if you quit trying to have military defense and you do away with all of that, there's enough money that will come in to enrich the entire world. Because the thing that has made the world poor is not God's shortness as to supplying the need, but man's foolishness out of his fear. Satan has caused him to spend billions and hundreds of billions of dollars on defense. And when they get away from this and they quit spending the money wildly, there will be so many billions of dollars that will swallow up the national indebtedness here and around the world, and provide prosperity. Again, Antichrist will have made craft to prosper. So, in this, all of that would be centered toward the welfare of mankind, which he made mention of that too, again today. So, all of that could be centered toward mankind. And with this, I'm adding, as what I just said to you about the defense and about the monetary values that would come in and what would how we would flourish from it, and numbers of other things. And then bringing in the market of Europe, it would just be perfect. The Bible speaks of Antichrist rising up, and out of these 10 horns, that he would subdue three of them. And strangely enough, three of the major powers over there he's visited is France and Italy and Germany, three of the major ones, and that's three of the 10 of the Confederation. So that's the outstanding ones. And then, when it comes to the market, the common market, if they swing that over there by 1992, or 93, then that will give them a head start, and America will be like a dustpan. America is fading away into nothing. I said Mr. Gorbachev will rise up and take the preeminence, and the spotlight will be taken off of America and be taken off of our presidents, and it'll be put on him. As it was said today, all of a sudden, Mr. Reagan, who doesn't amount to anything anymore, is fixing to go out. So as far as the voice of the people, it doesn't amount to anything. And Mr. Bush, who has not as of yet took office, sitting there silent to listen to the conversations, all of a sudden Mr. Gorbachev steps in and takes the spotlight, and out goes America. And speaking to the UN, I understand with one of the most polished speeches that mankind has ever given. And the people applauding and just literally swept away, because I said he'll come over and take the whole thing under his control. And another thing I said was that the Bible says an Antichrist shall come in with flattery. And obviously everything that he is promising is flattery. And everything that he is saying, I understand that today he just kept flattering different nations and flattering George Shultz, which is in our government, and some of the others, just flattery, flattery, flattery. There was a continual thing of flattery. And the promises and all the things that he's going to flatter the world with as to what he can do. So the whole thing is coming right into light. And he said that they did Mr. Arafat wrong and placed his approval on the PLO. And I said that the PLO would have no reason to want Jerusalem other than the fact that it is Antichrist, which is the devil himself coming in to make his headquarters in Jerusalem. And you're going to find that the covenant, as it goes on, will be made with Israel. And it will be this thing that's coming up right now as to this world peace. And Israel will go head over heels in it, believing that everything is all right. And now we've got a world peace. And money answereth through all things, that if he's going to forgive their indebtedness, then their indebtedness will be forgiven. And Israel will have the chance of a lifetime. And who wouldn't grab that for an opportunity? How could Israel resist that? It is their means of survival as a nation. Mr. Gorbachev is shrewd enough that he doesn't have an argument with anybody. So he isn't arguing with the PLO or Israel or anybody else. He just steps out and nobody can throw stones at him because he don't have any fight with anybody. So he just steps right out. He swallows it up. Now, when Israel's debt is forgiven as to this, then that means that it will signify that Israel's spiritual indebtedness is forgiven as to saying, let his blood be upon us and upon our children. So with all of this, as it comes together, there's one other thing that's going to be needed, and that's money power. And that's where the Pope is going to come in, and they're going to have to accept him in their arrangements. And that is going to be the beast carrying the great whore. For Russia is going to be big brother when they swing that thing over there. It's going to be the government, the biggest one among all the people. And he's going to have the voice and admiration and praise of the people. And it's going to be the bare feet as to the government that's going to carry that thing. And the religion that's going to be accepted will be the great whore as to the Catholic Church. And it'll be carried by the bear. And the thing that will be preeminent will be the uniting of those nations, the organizing of those nations as to the leopard body, indicating the spots as to different nations as to a compound or composure of nations as to the leopard, and which will relate back to sports. Sports and a world advantage as to the markets of the world. And then the other thing, as I said, will be the old Babylonian kingdom, as to Rome, the powers of the lion. The head of that beast was a lion, and Daniel saw the lion as Babylon, and then it was transferred over to Mystery Babylon, which is the Catholic Church, or the Roman powers. So it's very obvious that Daniel's bear and Daniel's leopard and Daniel's lion is the constitution of that beast, of government, of sports or frolic, sports and frolics, one and the same, which is the marketing of money and goods, and then religion, which is the voice of the lion. Satan as a lion. So we see all this coming together, and then we spoke of the desolation in 1 hour. The other night, how the desolation would come in 1 hour, and it said all of a sudden her merchants are gone, and they'll stand afar off and cast dust on their head and said, alas, alas, that great city that made all of the nations of the world rich from her costliness. In 1 hour her desolation is coming. They'll cast dust on their head, standing afar off, looking at her torment. And the voice will say, there'll be no more goods in you. We'll show you right hurriedly here as we talk what the Bible has to say about it. For all of her goods is gone, her merchandise is gone. And the Bible said the voice of the bridegroom will be heard in her no more. It says, and I saw an angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Remember that mark on Gorbachev's head has to do with this. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Then it says on over here, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. You remember that going to the moon, Apollo, which means the devil. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works, and the cup which she hath filled to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. So it goes on to say her plague is just coming one day, death, mourning, and famine. For strong is the Lord God that judgeth her. Then he goes on to say here, to burn her with fire. Said, for the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of a torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all fine wood and all manner of vessels of ivory and all manner of vessels of most precious wood. And listen, all this is that market. And of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odor and ointment and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men and the fruit that thy soul lusteth after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stone and pearls. For in 1 hour so great riches has come to naught, and every shipmaster and all the company and ship and sailors and as many as strayed by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea, by reason of her costliness, and in 1 hour is she made desolate. said, "Rejoice over her, thou heavens, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her." And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, "Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And a light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee." No more preaching. "For thy merchants were the great men of the earth." No more church. "For thy sorcerers were all nations deceived." By thy sorcerers was all nations deceived. "And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth." See, it goes on to tell that this whole thing is to be overthrown. Now, with this, the covenant is going to be made. It will be made at the first of the week. The first of the week, it will be made. It will be made for 7 years, not because they're planning to make it for 7 years. They don't know when they make it that there's only 7 years left. But they're going to make the covenant, and it'll only last 7 years because there's only 7 years left because of the time that they make it, because it will be made at the beginning of Daniel's last week, and the 7 years will be all that will be left. And though you will not be here to see it, yet in the middle of the week, the covenant will be broken. And the spirits that went out, the unclean spirits, to gather together these kings to form this great mighty army as to bring up this world empire as to one world government. See, as we said it would come to, and one monetary value. See, as it comes up, when it comes up, he'll consolidate this by forcing the mark of the beast when the covenant is broken. Now, he'll just work with humanity until the covenant is broken. Everything will go along fine till the middle of the week. The two prophets will come on the scene. They should be somewhere around because the time's getting close. So then this thing will continue on till the middle of the week. And what will cause the breaking of the covenant is, the Bible said, tidings out of the east will trouble him. He will feel like he's got control of the entire world, even the Jews. But all of a sudden, the Jews will keep saying, "But Messiah will come, but Messiah will come, but Messiah will come." And then they know they'll be made the head of the nation when Messiah comes. So then this will trouble him. And the Bible said it'll continue on. Everything will be quiet. Everybody will do obeisance to him. Everybody will obey him. And this will continue on until he gets furious. And then he will go forth, the Bible said, to make an end of these people that trouble him. And the devil will personify himself at that time, and that's what will cause him to go forth. So when the devil enters into this great leader that will have taken over everything in the world, he will call together the armies, and when he gives the command, the Bible said, all of the armies and kings of the world will gather in around Jerusalem, which is very... It is very easy to be understood, because if it is a United Nation government, he would not send an army from Russia or anywhere else. He would call for the army to go in, and that would be the entire world as to the UN as they went in, or to represent the whole world around them. Because the Bible said they'll all go in against him. And the Bible said when you see all of the nations of the world come past Jerusalem about, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Now all the nations can't, that's just not even ethical for all of the nations to come past a city, a little country like that. But if it's a confederation, as we said it would come to, it would automatically be that way. With the Jerusalem's rebellion, it's not to let them have the headquarters, that would bring it about. In the middle of the week, all of these armies would gather in around Jerusalem. When they gather around Jerusalem, Jesus said, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, then said the end shall come. And said in great tribulation is determined upon this people, that is for 3.5 years, such as never been since the beginning of man, no nor shall ever be.
So then we see that they will gather in. That will be the breaking of the covenant, because Jerusalem will have to flee for their lives. And the compact thing of international brotherhood will be broken. And they will flee for their lives. And when they go, a third will be left to be put through the fire, as the Bible says. The others will flee into the mountains to represent the woman, fleeing into the wilderness for time and a half a time, because there's only 3.5 years left before the millennium. And then at that time, the 144,000 goes up to Mount Zion on Revelation. In Revelation 14, indicates the catching up of the man-child, which really is the body as to the spiritual part of the man-child. It was caught up the first of the week. So we see we could go into a lot of things here, but we're not going to do that. I'm just going to highlight a few things as I understand it as to the end coming. And the Bible teaches that at this time, prior to this time, they'll throw their money to the bats and run for the mountains and the caves and plead for the mountains to fall on them and hide them from the face of him that sitteth upon the face of the earth. So we see that this is bringing the end. And the judgment immediately comes after the 144,000 is caught up, where Jesus appears on the cloud and he thrusts in the sickle. And something says, gather the grapes for they are fully ripe. And then another one comes and he says, thrust in thy sickle and cut down the vine. And I say again, we say the grapevine, and said, and there the grapevine was gathered into the winepress of Almighty God and was trod without the city till the blood runs up to the horse's bridle. And as sure as you live, what the Lord is saying there in a parabolic speech, cutting down the vine, that it means the return of the Lord Jesus of Revelation 19 and us coming back on the white horses. And the vine is the people of the earth. God's got them all together around Jerusalem now. And the desolation as to Jews getting out of there, no matter who's in the homeland, if the Jews aren't there, it's desolate. And so then in this, it means that he's fixing to cut all of humanity down, pull them over there to that place of the battle of the Valley of Armageddon. And that's the vine that he's going to pull in there. And then he's going to bring the horses in there. And they're going to fight with horse and sword. And he himself is going to return on a white horse. And the blood is going to run up to the horse's bridle. And that's without the city, called the breadbasket of the world. And that's where they'll trample the vines until the blood is up to the horse's bridle. I say again, the song that we got, they're just now fixing to publish it. So everything is working right down the schedule. Everything's working right into place. And with the breaking of that covenant, at that time, the two prophets will be killed. Because Antichrist will kill those, because them two prophets is near at hand now. And when they come, it's to the first of the week there to minister. And it's to the last of the week for the Antichrist to move in and kill them. Antichrist will bring the mark. Because once he drives the Jews out, he is going to take any chance anymore of anything troubling him or any other sect, religious or whatever, rising up. So he's going to put the mark into effect there in the middle of the week. And in that, that is where the Bible said, blessed are they that die in the Lord from henceforth. They shall rest from their labors and their works do follow them. So this means that just before the cutting down of the vine, God will gather those grapes that are ripe over there in the middle of the week, which means brings the Jews in, because we've already been gathered the first of the week as to the appearing of the Lord over in the sixth chapter of the book of Revelation, the opening of the sixth seal. So it's very obvious that all these things are falling into place perfectly for the coming of the Lord. And America, I say, is already bankrupted, and it's nothing to switch the thing over. And Mr. Gorbachev is taking the lead now, and everything is swinging into his hands, for the King of the North is on his way. So that means that if there is to be 7 years, I want to repeat this, if there is to be 7 years, which is the last week of Daniel, of the last 7 years before the coming of the Lord, if that thing sets in 92, and they brought this into effect since we preached to you here a few months back about 92 and 93, along in there. And now all of a sudden they come up with this and they start publishing in the paper that in 92 this thing will be all set together as to the market of Europe. And beginning to organize the beast right now. It's all coming in. The confederation will come in. You'll see from here on out, it'll fall in so beautifully that anybody can see it and understand it if they have been told of God beforehand what this thing is all about. The world won't see it. They're blind. They won't see a thing. The Bible said they'll not see when good comes. They won't understand. So, as this falls into place, if it is true, then if it fell into place, I say one more time, by 92, by 93, it would just be getting off of the ground. It would just be getting organized to where it would really be profitable to mankind or to do what they want it to do. And if that's true, there would only be 7 years that would be left from that time over to bring in another millennium. And if that's true, then that would automatically bring in the seventh millennium. The seventh millennium. 7,000 years, so far as we know. That would be the coming in of the 7,000th year since the Lord started the creation of mankind, as far as we can tell. And if that be true, then the Bible said he worked with man 6 days. On the seventh, he rested and said a day is as 1,000 years with God and 1,000 years as a day. So it's obvious that this is coming in, and that would automatically be pointing to the year, the 1,000 years rest. So that would be the 7 years of the covenant. And if this would be true, then we don't know where we're at right now. Because I say again, Jesus going up to the temple at 9, they got him going up at 9 years old, at 9 A.D. And, you know, B.C. is before Christ, and A.D. Is from his birth on over. So that means that if he went up at 9, there would be 3 years difference, because somebody has him going up at 12, and we know that the Bible definitely gives it at 12. It gives it at 12, as far as we can tell, because the bar mitzvah even today is at 12 and 13, and it was as a bar mitzvah sort of a thing in going up there. So then it was obvious that he was sitting amazing the wise men and all of the scholars here at this early age, saying that he had to be about his father's business, which meant he had come into the bar mitzvah or the power of his rule and authority. He was taking over. He never tried to do it until the bar mitzvah, because this is the time of the child. And when we think of this, that means 3 years that's offset. That shifts that thing up. And then again, we have numbers of occasions in the Bible, one where the sun went back so many degrees because of the days of Hezekiah. Another time when the sun stood still all day long because of Joshua. So that means that if we had 4 years from now until 93 or somewhere along in there, that wouldn't be but about half of a presidency term, in that they usually go about 8 years. That is, Mr. Bush would go about one term, and that would be about it. And if we've got about 3 years and these other times off, we don't know whether there's any time left at all or not. And we don't know how far we are or where we are or whatever. God has said it, that no man can know the day nor the hour of his coming. But he did say of the saints of God that they will know when it's nigh, even at the door. But to the world they would not know. It would be as a snare upon all them that come on the earth or dwelt on the earth. They would come that way, because they would not understand, because Lucifer, even the prince of this world, has blinded their eyes, even their eyes of understanding, that they cannot see when good cometh. So then we are children of light, and I'm telling you, it's not the door. So that means that things are at a close. And do we, or you, or whoever it might be, if we procrastinated as to do our own thing, as to make our own plans, do our own program, it just proves how blind we were and how rebellious we was and how stubborn we've been. Not submitting, not listening, not wanting to go the right way, not wanting holiness, not wanting godliness, but wanting a form of godliness. That's to say that we're holy and doing the evil, devilish things of the world all the time. And of course, reaping the sorrows of it. But you that have loved the Lord, you that have cared for the Lord, you that have been concerned about God, whether it's here, that you that are looking at me or them that hear my voice, whoever it might be that have tried to be faithful, the Bible said, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And the servant that I find feeding and taking care of my cause and my people at my coming, blessed is he, and I will make him ruler over all that I have. And he said, if you do the things that I tell you, I will say in that day, enter into the good things that I've got prepared for you and I've had from the foundation of the world. Others will say, when the doors closed, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in thy name? And in thy name, haven't we done many mighty works? And he will say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, for I never knew you. And they'll be bound hand and feet and cast into everlasting darkness. And of course, that's what the world is fixing to receive now. Gross darkness shall cover the people as to intellectual reasoning. The Antichrist coming in, that means intellectual reasoning, the old tree of knowledge, the devil's personification. And it will bring it right in, right in. And they will be totally in ignorance, and there'll be no light, the light of understanding, and godliness will be taken away from them, for they will not see when good cometh. They'll not be able to see any good thing. And sad to say, we got some people at Bethlehem. You're still gossipers, you're still backbiters, you're still troublemakers, you're still talebearers in the school, in the homes, and you're still sitting around talking about my children and their children, and somebody is sitting around talking about your children, and it's just a covetous sort of a thing, and a lustful sort of a thing, and a gullible sort of a thing. Among numbers of you, all you want to do is eat, drink, have convenience. And the Bible said, woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. One woe cometh and then another woe. The whole world is going through these woes right now in the beginning of sorrows, times of sorrows, because they are all trying to feather their nest, and every man is run to his own house looking for his own gain, turning to his own quarter for his own gain. Letting the house of God lay waste right when the harvest is fully ripe, and God has commanded us to go out into the fields to harvest. So then it's very obvious that people have been doing this, and they've turned to the old beast. I say this again to you, the beast has to do with sports. And you're running after sports as hard as you can. Even the church has gone after sports. That's part of the beast, and that means that you are part of the beast. And I've tried to explain to you that what the beast is, the body of the beast is you and every individual that goes after the things of the world that hath the love of the world in them. Every person that hath the love of the world in them, the Bible said the love of the Father isn't there. If they love houses and lands and eating and drinking and money and buying and fame and popularity and sports and all these things that pertain to the flesh, as to hunting and fishing and all these things, they are the beast. That is the beast. That is the flesh. The flesh loves those things. And the Bible said Satan savors the things that be of the flesh. And all of those things are of the flesh. They're not of God. They are of the flesh. There's many things that we do in the world that God makes allowance for, that's run through the filter of God. And these things is just like if I went hunting to kill me something to eat, fishing to catch me something to eat. Are those men that fish down there in boats, throwing out nets and catching thousands of fish to where they can run it into the public so the public can eat? All that's allowed for in God. But when you get this thing of being sporty and you want your guns and you want to go hunting and blow the brains of an animal out and you go hunting again and you kill, first thing you do is break the law. They allow you 3 and you kill 23, you know, and from that you go from one thing to another and you become a lawbreaker and everything's wrong. Everything's wrong. See, but those things that God allows for, they're right. And somebody said, well, that's one thing I don't do. I say this again, one that rides up and down the road in the car all the time, that's the beast. When you see a person riding all the time up and down the roads, eating, drinking, talking, gossiping, visiting, I don't care if it's with relatives or whatever, that's the beast. See, because the Son of God, the daughter of God, will not do that. The Bible said, redeem the time for the days are evil. The sons and daughters of God will not be interested in being a pack rat and buying everything they can and building more buildings to put it in. They'll be interested in selling what they've got as the early church and giving it to the needy, as is the nature of Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And they will be interested in doing those things and taking their lives and being about the Father's business to redeem the time. And the preacher's just running all around, give me $1, give me $10, give me $1,000, I want to be on television, put me in this, put me in this. Somebody come up here, told me, you know, that they're supposed to do all of that and I'm supposed to take care of them. That's the beast. Preacher or no preacher, that's still the beast. That's the beast. See, because their minds are on their bellies, all of their labors for their belly and their mouth, because the belly craves it of them. God's put the beast, the old serpent, on his belly. Because the beast was turned into a serpent. So that's the old beast, the generation of vipers, the gossip, the backbiter, the one that's just got to be a television gazer, the ones that's just got to have magazines, got to read love magazines. They've got to read books. They've got to read science. They've got to read all kind of things. The ones that's just got to see movies. Their VCRs or whatever they've got. That's the beast. Young or old, that's the beast. So that means that all that is the beast. The ones that's got to have the tight, form-fitting clothes, the lipstick, the bob hair, whether man or woman, concerned about their face and their form and their jogging, their weightlifting, that's the beast. All of that is the beast. That is the flesh. That is the beast. What is the beast? It's the flesh. Satan, thou savest the things that be of the beast or of the flesh. So we are not in the flesh. We cannot savor the things that be of the flesh because we're not in the flesh. We're in the spirit. And we're about our Father's business. And the Bible said to be spiritually minded is life. To be fleshly minded is carnality. Or carnally minded is the tree of knowledge, or that is death. So when you do those things, as to lust, as to be gullible, as to look for position and education and fame and popularity and all these other things as positions and careers in the world, then that is the beast. Even if it's just man and wife and children and home, if they leave God out and it's nothing but eat, drink, buy, and passions, it is the beast. It is a family of the beast. So you can see by this how close this thing is. But when a person is about the Father's business, they are not in the flesh. He that is born of spirit is spirit, and Jesus, the second man Adam, being made a quickening spirit, you are bearing the image of him, or predestined to that, and you are not the beast, you are the body of the Son of God. You're a membership of his body, members in particular, and you have eternal life, and you're preordained to rule and to reign forever. And when the preacher preaches, the Bible said as many as before were ordained as to foreknowledge, they believe. The rest of them cannot believe. They make believe. So this is the way it is, folks. It's narrowed right down to the finishing line. And this is why that the revelation of Jesus Christ has come to you at this hour, because it is the return of the Lord himself. And he is finishing the thing within the heart of the believer, that within a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, when the change comes, as of these things, it'll be before you can bat your eyes. Somebody would say, well, I'm waiting for the change, Brother Pike. Well, you're not waiting right. You need to wait in prayer, fasting, study, conformity, denying yourself, getting rid of. Don't be getting things, get rid of things. The more things that you get, the more responsibility you have, and the more it costs you. Get rid of things. Having food and raiment, the Bible said, be there with content. For you brought nothing into the world, and it's for sure you're not going to take anything out. Don't buy half a dozen cars so they can just sit around, and add to junkers and houses and land and all this kind of thing, and run around with thousands of dollars in your pocket. Don't be a fool. That's the way of a fool. Don't do that. The thing to do is, the Bible said the little widow gave all that she had to God. Somebody said, well, bless God, I'll give it to God, but not to you, Brother Pike. Brother Pike wouldn't have it. You couldn't give it to me. Let's give the Lord a hand. You ever tried it? Some has tried it. You can't give it to me. You can take it. You'll have to take it to God or somewhere, you know. But I'm just telling you that you need to do something, because the end of the world is upon you. And things is happening. Things is happening. I love you. Says, know ye not that ye are the temples of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? And if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. So let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise, that is, in God. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness, and again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, and they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in man, for all things are yours. All right. It says all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos, the Cephas of the world, or life or death, or things present or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. That is, he belongs to God. So I could go on and go on commenting on this, because by his understanding through prayer and waiting upon him, He has made us to know and understand many things, all the way from Genesis to Revelation, from the beginning of the world, all the instigation of things unto the consummation or to the end of things, for which we're very grateful. Not that we've merited anything. We haven't done anything that's been any better than anybody else. We're no better than anybody else if we know something. But because of His merits and His goodness and His grace. But one thing we have done. We've been waiting at the doorpost of His gate and standing upon the wall in our watch to see what He'll say to us when we're approved of God. We're glad to have you here. I just noticed back here that Brother Ed's wife's with us. I hadn't seen her here in a good while. I believe she did come maybe a few months back and visit. But we're glad to have her here. And also I see Brother David Hauser. We're glad to have him here. We're always thankful to have you here with us. We try to tell you the right things. And you that are elect, you'll receive them. No man can receive them except that they're given him of God. No matter how much you want them, you can't get them. I tell you again, Esau sought repentance with bitter tears. It didn't do him a bit of good. You could weep, you could bawl, you could cry, you could beg, you could do anything that you want to. You wouldn't get it. Cain come and offered his offering to God. It didn't do him any good. Just like many of you, you're offering your offerings to God. It isn't doing you a bit of good because the offering of the wicked is abomination in the sight of God. And God only receives that according to the condition of your heart. So it isn't doing you any good. Professing to be wise, you just become a fool in His sight. Even intellectually learning the Bible or becoming religiously indoctrinated, you aren't doing any good. See, it's all, the Bible said, hid from the wise and the prudent, made revelation unto babes such as will learn. So that means that you're not doing any good at all. Belonging to Bethlehem, living on the campground, even to be a troublemaker or whatever, a make-believer, whatever. It's not doing you any good. But there are the elect. And some of them are at Bethlehem. Some of them are in Russia. Some of them are in Germany. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. So there are some all over the world. And the Bible said at the end time, God will send His angels to the four corners of the earth and gather His elect from the four winds of the earth. All of them will come together. There shall be one shepherd and one flock of sheep. So tonight, as we would like to go on, I know that we can't because it's getting late. Maybe later again we'll comment some more on these things as to bring out biblical substantiation for the present things as to news or the occurrence in the present moment, that you might see a present day truth. The Bible says it's a good thing that the heart be established in the present day truth. And these, of course, are present day truths, something that you can understand even today. Let's stand together and sing the little chorus, Come Into My Heart, Brother Tuttle. I hope from time to time that the things we're saying might leave an imprint on your mind, have a bearing on your life, or cause you to understand a little better, or have a greater vision for God, or see how late it is that you might pull away. Some of you are not going to pull away from your businesses. You're not going to pull away from your jobs. You're not going to pull away from your mind as to the world. You're not going to pull away from your desire of things in the natural. You're not going to pull away from the flesh. You're not going to do it. It doesn't matter how close it is or how much you think it's close. You can't pull away. You're not going to pull away. Somebody says, well, I think I know. There's no thinking that you will. You can't. You can think you will all you want to, even to the point of tears and repentance. But you won't pull away. You can't pull away because you're not elect. And you won't be saved because you're not the predestinated. You are, the Bible said, certain men were foreordained before of old. Foreordained unto condemnation. They're ungodly men. They turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. They're predestinated to hell. The Bible said they're brute beasts made to be taken and burned. When it says made to be taken and burned, it means that God foresaw them down at the end of the trail, that when He made them, that they were going to be evil and be burning in the lake of fire. He saw them that way. Even making them, they were made just to drop off into the pit. You know, God didn't do, He isn't satisfied with the situation of the world. I think you know that. The Bible said that it so repenteth God in that He made man, He was willing to destroy man from off the face of the earth. He said man was so wicked, said, man whom I've made, it repenteth me at my heart, grieves me at my heart that I made him. And said, I'd love to destroy him from the face of the earth. Because God had never seen sin. God had never seen corruption. God had never been around anything like that. And when he saw man separated from him and he couldn't reach man after he had made man upright and give him such a beautiful place to live and give him the desires of his heart, and today, being the same, he would love for it to be world peace and man to have everything, had the desire of his heart. And they're going to bring in world peace, but God will have to kill Antichrist before it will be turned into world peace as to the millennium. But all of them will come together and world peace will come to a head. And then after that, God will destroy Antichrist. His work will be finished then as to the correlation. And as to man looking in one direction, and true peace will come because man will be searching for it. So everything is at hand, folks. Yeah, the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. And I'd like to see you saved, but I know you can't be saved. I know you can't because you're not elect. There's that thing that will eat at you like a canker worm and hold you to the last day to get that dollar. I've talked to men that was almost to the place of dying. And I've talked to them. And they would still be talking about their business or their work and how to make a dollar. I've seen them when they could barely drag around. And they were still trying to get somebody together for correlation to make a dollar. And when that trumpet sounds, you're going to be busy trying to make a dollar. Your mind's going to be on making a dollar. If it's not, it's going to be on economizing as to what your budget is and to be sure that you don't give nothing to God because you've got to take care of your budget. And after that, you'll have a penny march, as we say. Not that we speak in respect of want and that God has abundantly met all of our needs according to his riches and glory. And this I can say, as I did the other night, the ones that's really trying, you have abundantly work with us in helping us to do what you could for God. And God will greatly bless you because you have not held back on God at all. Some does not give like others, but some are babies. Some does not give like others because some have not got that kind of faith. Some don't give like others because even though finance sometimes is afforded to where they could give more, they just don't have that kind of strength in God. But there are some that dare, as in a war, they are like heroes. They'll run out and they'll risk their life, their family, the loss of their name and everything else, whether it's financially, physically, whatever it might be. In prayer and fasting, they'll step forward to make sure that they help protect the people. Whereas we need to do this, which brings a vision to my mind. I don't know how heroic it was, but I remember getting all my people to safety. I remember getting them all to safety. One was before the bear tore into them. And the other one, I had a vision where I got them all to safety. I got them over behind the fence to where they couldn't be hurt. And took all my time getting them over behind the fence. And by the time I got them over behind the fence, I was shot all just full of holes. I was standing there full of holes where they'd shot me full of holes because I had to get the last one in. But that could be naturally, that could be spiritually, it could be any kind of thing. I've been shot full of holes from just about everywhere. I've got a lot of holes, but as Brother Stevie said the other night, David was talking, said something about Stevie being shot full of so many holes, if you shot him, he'd just go into another hole. So some of you are in that kind of condition. One of the finest men that I know, Brother John Lane, who was fixing to take a trip into Israel. I related this to you in time past. And I kept trying to get in touch with John and I couldn't. And John was supposed to get in touch with me and he didn't. Something come up. So John waited till the last minute. We all went down to the terminal. Everything was ready. And we all had confirmed our seat in advance. And as we started to get on the plane, John came with his valise and everything ready to go. I said, John, you waited too late. I said, but I'll do everything I can to get you on. And I went down and I began to talk to him. And I'd done everything that I knew to get John on the plane. But there wasn't any way. I said, don't you have just one seat for him? They said, we have seats. We have vacant seats. We could put him on. I said, but we can't do it. No confirmation of seat. Can't take a trip. And John was left there as we lifted off the earth. John was left there going to the holy city, but he was left there by himself. And I thought John, the law and the prophets, after that the kingdom, the translation, because men were translated into the kingdom of God from Calvary. John. See, I saw it so beautifully, I knew it was going to happen. And I saw it fulfill in Revelation. And so often this is the way it is, folks. So if you are elect tonight, then confirm your seats, as we say. Make sure, the Bible said, make sure you're calling an election. Make sure of it. Don't be lighthearted. Make sure of it. Confirm it. Don't take it for granted. Don't let it be taken for granted because I'm a preacher that I'm going to go and you're going to be left. I could be left and you might go. See, don't say because I am a preacher's son, I'm a preacher's daughter, I'm a preacher's wife, or I belong to a governor's, I'm a governor's wife, or one of the major leaders at Bethlehem, or I'm one of the major sisters that I always work out there. Don't do that because you can be left. You can be left. All right. That don't set too well, but that's the way it is. You love the Lord? And if you're willing, the Bible said you could eat the good of the land if you'd be willing and obedient. So tonight, search yourselves, examine yourselves, see if your conviction is in the Word, faith by the hearing of the Word. See if you're in the faith. For in the last days many shall depart from the true Word. Faith, give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. My wife was just telling me today of an occasion. My Gracie was working on a job. She met a young lady. The young woman, Gracie fellowshipped her for a few minutes, and immediately, the woman being dressed in pants and not dressed properly, Gracie says, "Do you have a background of holiness?" And Gracie said she dropped her head and said, "Yes." Said, "It shows, doesn't it?" Gracie said, "It sure does." And she said, "Well, Gracie," said, "I belong to the Assemblies of God." And said, "My husband, a preacher, young people. But said they got so bad in the Assemblies of God." I'm not speaking against the Assemblies of God. I'm telling you what the girl said. Said they got so bad. And the preacher got to allowing for so many things. Said they were doing so bad in the Assemblies of God that he and I just decided to leave the church altogether and just go out into the world. So then millions will be left. Millions will be left. So I'm going to ask you to do this before we sing the next little chorus or as we sing it. Check up. Are you the beast? Are you the beast? Are you the beast? For sure that you are, unless you're the bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Unless you're his body, members in particular, then you're the beast. And your desire can tell you whether or not you're the beast. For when you think the wrong thoughts, then you are the beast. When you think the right thoughts, then you are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every thought in subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ. For when your thoughts are wrong, that means you're wrong. And when you're wrong, that means you are the beast. You are members in particular, if your thoughts are wrong. The Bible says that charity thinketh no evil. No evil. Charity thinketh no evil. Not a little bit of evil. It thinketh no evil. Not any evil. So then, from out of the heart, the Bible said, comes forth thoughts of fornication and adultery and theft, hatred and murder, covetousness, all of the gullible desires of the world. And these defile a man. So then you know who you are tonight. You know who you are. Let's worship the Lord tonight and close our eyes and just think for a few minutes. I don't want to hold you long tonight, but I want you to think for just a few minutes. While you've got your hands up, I'm going to ask our brother Jerry from over in Mississippi, Brother Faison, to come up and pray with you. And while Jerry comes to pray, I want you to think on me tonight. Pray for me that doors will be open to me, that I can go into all the world with the gospel, or that I can please God. I have one desire, and that's to do always the things that please the Father. This was Jesus' testimony, and the Bible says, before Enoch was translated, this was his testimony. He pleased God. without faith, that God might purify our heart with His Spirit, it is impossible to please Him. So tonight, while you've got your hands up and your eyes closed, think on me when you pray. Let your heart be fully given to the Lord. Your mind be fully thinking upon the Lord Jesus. Take Him into your heart. While you've got Him in your heart, think on me when it's convenient for you. While you've got your hands up and your eyes closed, we're going to sing this little chorus just as Jerry comes. It's called "Come Into My Heart." Oh, come in to my heart. Oh, come in to my heart. Just come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today and come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Can you sing it again? Oh, come into my heart.